Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
We who are old, old and gay, oh so old. Thousands of years, if all were told. Give to these children new to the world, silence and love, and the long dew dropping hours of night and the stars above. Give to these children new to the world, rest far from men. Is anything better, anything better? Tell us then, us who are old, old and gay, oh so old. Thousands of years, if all were told. And tonight we celebrate things that live long lives, plants that survive the dark half, the dark side, the winter, the evergreens. We'll be right back with Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. Join us in our circle. Green Magic, Green Medicine with your host Susan Weed. I'm Daniel Michael, and I'm the founder, co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network. And the poem I was reading is by William Butler Yeats, and it's called The Fairy Song, in case anyone is curious. They can look it up, and maybe I'll link it later. I love poetry, and I love Yeats and many other great poets, and including one of my ex-girlfriends published a book a little while back, which good for her. In a kind of, you know, I hope you're not too successful way, as an ex-boyfriend might think, but good for her that she did that. Anyway, I see Susan is in the queue, and I'm going to go ahead and turn her microphone on, and welcome, Susan.
Green blessings. Evergreen blessings, as a matter of fact.
In fact, even better. Long live.
Even better. Well, 'tis the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
All the here in the northern hemisphere, all of the deciduous trees have shed their leaves and bare branches. It sure makes goat watching easy. I have a herd of dairy goats, and we go out with the goats every day, and we herd them rather than have fences. I started out with fences, kind of, you know, like the way all the books say, the way normal people do it. But I found I was spending so much time mending fences that I was really not what I wanted to do with my life, and that I would far rather just be out and about roaming the woods and the fields with the goats.
And be careful with that normal word, by the way. Always a funny word, right?
Isn't it, though? So, in the summertime, when the trees are all leafed out, you really have to stay with the goat herd, because if they move even a little off from you, you can lose them. But now with all the leaves down, you can just sit in one spot if you so desire. And they can go far, far away from you, and you can see them. And not only that, you can hear them crunch, 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 with all the dried leaves down. So the evergreens really shine. And in my area, one of the primary evergreens is the pine tree, the white pine tree. And the white pine tree is a very important tree to the First Nations people of this area, the Seneca, the Onondaga, the people of the Great Peaceful Nations, the Iroquois Confederacy. And
Six Nations folks.
Yeah, the First Nations. And they, like, almost, you know, there were over, I think, over 800 different nations in North America at white contact. And most of them made war against each other. If not outright war, raids.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a peacemaker who went from village to village saying, we would be better off if we worked together. And he literally risked his own life, you know, because it just wasn't allowed to go from, like, one group to the other group. And he did that, and he said, we should all work together. We should form a League of Nations.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Tecumseh?
Yes.
Oh, I was right.
And so when the people finally agreed to do this, they chose a very large white pine tree, and they buried their weapons at the roots of this white pine tree. And when they did that to seal the bargain, so to speak, a beautiful bald eagle came and lit on the top of the tree. And this is the symbol of the Great Peaceful Nations today. A big white pine tree with an eagle on the top and the weapons of war buried at its roots.
Wow.
So they call the white pine the Great Tree of Peace. Now, it may be that you and I wouldn't be here in North America if it wasn't for the white pine tree. The British were a seafaring nation. They were, you know, all over the world because of their skill and ability in sailing vessels.
Mm-hmm.
And those sailing vessels, we think of them and we have these romantic views of them, and I'm sure in some ways they certainly look romantic, there's big masts on them, and all the wooden planking on them. Well, what happened in England was that they cut down all their forests to make these ships.
Mm-hmm.
They cut down all the oak trees for the size of the ship, you know. They cut down all the pine trees for the masts, and soon there was no more because they were cutting it down at a faster rate than these trees could grow. It takes an oak tree 80 years to reach a girth of 8 inches.
Boy.
So, since they were such, you know, explorers and adventurers, they said, let's go see if we can find some wood someplace else. And they came to North America, and there they found the great forests of North America. It's said that in even as late as 1700, a squirrel could go from the Atlantic Ocean to the Mississippi River on oak trees without ever setting foot on the ground.
Mm. Wow.
And of course, enormous and beautiful white pines, especially where I live, here in the Catskills and further north up in the Adirondacks. The white pines achieve enormous size. And they said, woohoo, all right, this is going to be an English colony right here, White Pineville. And I'm making that up. They didn't name a town that, but that's what real. You know, the Spanish were here for the gold, but the English were here for the white pine.
Mm.
And so the Great Tree of Peace to the native people, and I sometimes think of it as the tree of the great mistake. Because if you read the records of the early colonial settlements, we find that one of the major problems was that they all died. And they all died during the winter primarily from fevers and maladies brought about by weakened immune system caused by lack of vitamin C. Technical name for it is scurvy.
Right.
Right. I mean, we've never seen scurvy. It's, you know, we hear about it, but it's kind of like smallpox. Like, smallpox, scurvy, what are those things, right? Because we have access to foods rich in vitamin C year-round now. But they didn't. At least the English settlers didn't know that they did, to be really honest about it. Of course they
right.
did, because the evergreens are loaded with vitamin C.
Ah.
In fact, all plants contain vitamin C. Plants make vitamin C as an antioxidant to protect themselves. And so any plant has vitamin C. We think of things like oranges as being good sources of vitamin C because it has that hard rind, and so it keeps the vitamin C inside. But sauerkraut has 10 or 20 times more vitamin C ounce for ounce than orange juice does.
I did not know that.
Yeah, the fermentation process actually creates more vitamin C. So it's not that people didn't in Europe didn't know about how to get vitamin C. They did, but when they came to be in the New World, they didn't bring some of those habits with them because making sauerkraut was never a big habit in England. And so they didn't bring that with them, and so they died. And the native people, one of the first things the native people here did was they brought them pumpkins. And pumpkin was kind of like the welcome to our neighborhood gift.
Yeah.
Right? If you really liked somebody, you took them a pumpkin. And, of course, dried pumpkin would also preserve some vitamin C through the wintertime. But they did also show them that they could eat the inner bark of the white pine and that they could make a beverage from the white pine needles, both of which are very rich in vitamin C. And so, of course, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek when I say the tree of the great mistake, right? Because if those native people had not been so generous and they had just left it at pumpkins, maybe the white people wouldn't be here now.
Isn't that interesting, just the fact that they left, like, these gifts to people that eventually, you know, just took them over? It's amazing how scary it must have been to see the newcomers and then just to offer them a friendly gift. Not that they were perfect, or not that the Europeans were perfect, or not that anybody was, but that is a fascinating dynamic that, well, here's the new people, we're scared of them, let's leave them a nice gift. I find that fascinating,
yes.
You know,
yes.
And interesting.
And especially the people of the Great Peaceful Nations,
mm-hmm.
and who really did not fight. And Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin became friends with people of the Great Peaceful Nations because they did have this League of Nations. And Thomas and Benjamin envisioned that, not just a bunch of different states, but the states collected together, the United States, right?
Yeah.
And they wanted to learn how to do this from the Great Peaceful Nations, from the League of Nations.
And
they actually said that in their personal writings, well, you know, we're being called the fathers of our nation, but really, the Seneca women should be called the mothers of our nation because they're teaching us how to set up a government that is a government for peace.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is important to all of us now because we still really live under and by and through these you know, really wise ideas that the people right here, the people whose great symbol is the white pine. Now, of course, the pine and the spruce and the balsam, also evergreens, come into our European tradition symbolism because they, for us, are an important aspect of celebrating the winter solstice.
Mm-hmm.
And winter solstice, sol, sun, stice means still. So solstice is the sun stands still. And it is the point in the summer and the point in the winter when the sun comes to its furthest point where it will rise. If you're up at sunrise or sunset and you note where it rises or sets, you will see that moves across the horizon, east to west, and west to east throughout the year. And at solstice, it is the furthest west or the furthest east that it will get, and then it turns and goes back in the other direction, so the sun stands still. To us, of course, it's the longest night and the longest day.
Yes.
Summer solstice being the longest day and the winter solstice being the longest night. So the evergreen trees for people in the northern hemisphere, where it gets cold, where it gets snowy, where all the leaves fall off the tree, where all the plants suck themselves into their roots and go, bye, see you next year. The evergreen tree says, hang on, we're all coming back. We haven't abandoned you. And when we were talking about the roots, you read the story of Persephone.
Yes.
And that scary thing that happens at this time when it all gets dark, when we all feel like we're going to the underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful evergreen trees, we bring those trees right into our houses to reassure us. To say yes, you know, we're going to, what other holiday do we bring, you know, such a big plant into the house? And, of course, the evergreen wreaths and evergreen swags and boughs. It's like we, as we move into the darkest part of the year, we more than ever want the green right around us. We want to remind ourselves of the earth's love for us. And even if Persephone has to go back down underground for 6 months out of every year because she ate 6 pomegranate seeds, nonetheless, Baobo will make Demeter laugh and the green will come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the pine says all of that to us.
Now, Susan, this unusual development is actually the first or second time it's happened since you've been on the air with me, but we do have a caller.
All right.
I know you have information to get out. I'm just leaving it up to you whether you choose to take or not take this caller.
Oh, I'm happy to talk to the caller.
Okay. I'm just curious.
Sure.
229, you are on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was calling to see what you guys are doing readings tonight.
Oh, we are not doing a reading show this evening. I apologize.
Okay.
But we will be doing tomorrow evening if you call in. We have a topic,
thank
but
you
if you call in tomorrow at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, I promise we can get you a reading. We also have 2 or 3 other readings on the network.
Okay.
So
that'll
be Sunday
good.
And Monday. Sunday at 7, Monday at 11, all in the p.m. night time. So if you call back,
okay.
I promise we'll get you one soon if you wish.
Thank you. Thank you so
okay.
much.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that's okay.
Well, that
you do
great.
Readings on the network and you have 6 shows sometimes, and it's okay, I completely understand because they get, as you know how Blog Talk Radio works, if people get a follower, it comes up in their Facebook and they're like, oh, is this the reading show?
That's
and it
right.
might not at night, you know,
yeah.
that kind of. So I completely
well, how
understand.
Nice. Maybe a few people now know that there's readings that didn't know. About that before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We do readings
but
on the show.
But, you know, it makes a nice break. Certainly, I have more to say about white pine and about cedar and about juniper and about the evergreens altogether. We're going to be going on, I would imagine, for most of December about the evergreens. But since we've had this wonderful little break here, what I'd like to do is to backtrack a little bit and to kind of put our feet on the ground here. So I have one of my favorite books. It's called A Guide to Field Identification of the Trees of North America, and it's put out by the Golden Press. When I bought it, it was $3.95. I'm not sure if the Golden Books are still available, but I bet you could find a copy of it used because there was lots and lots of them printed. And it says that the trees are basically divided into gymnosperms and angiosperms. Now, we tend to think like evergreen and deciduous, but this is a little bit more botanical, and there's that interesting sperms there on the end of the two things. And basically, what it means here is that the seed, the sperm, so to speak, in what we would call the evergreens, is naked. And the seed in angiosperms is protected by an ovary wall. So we think, when we think about pine trees or evergreen trees, we think about them having cones. We think about pine cones. And when we think about other trees, the trees with the leaves, we think about them having fruits and nuts. Right? And we think about, oh, right, and the seed is inside the fruit, and the seed is inside the shell of the nut. So it's pretty clear to us that this distinction that the botanist is making between a naked seed and a protected seed is quite visible to us and will help us, because the fact of the matter is that not all, shall we say, evergreens are evergreen. There's a few that actually lose their needles. So let's look at the primary families of evergreen trees in North America. And then by doing this, we'll be able to talk a little more generally, so that when I'm talking about white pine, you won't think, oh, she just means white pine, and I live in an area where there's a lodgepole pine, or I live in an area where, and we'll begin to see where the similarities are, where the differences are, where we can be safe, and where we need to pay attention. So the Taxaceae are the yews, Y-E-W. And yew is poisonous. Yew does not occur as a wild tree in North America except the Pacific yew along the Pacific coast, well up into British Columbia. And as a kind of related tree, the Torreya, which also is found just in a tiny area of California and Florida. However, yews are cultivated as landscape plants. They can grow tall. They can be cut into hedges. They have pretty red berries. The berry is not really a berry, of course, although it's called a berry, because as we just established, these have naked seeds. However, they do not have cones. They have these kind of halfway in-between things. So we want to exclude yew or Torreya from our discussion. If when we're talking about evergreens, those are evergreens, but we're not talking about them. The next big family is the Pinaceae, the pine family. And basically, when I am talking about white pine, you can just substitute any pine that you have where you live at all. The pines are usually divided into soft pines and hard pines. And white pine is a soft pine. And some people think that the taste of the soft pines is nicer than the taste of the hard pines. But ponderosa pine is a hard pine, and, ooh, it tastes really good indeed. So what can we say? Some pines have more or less resin in them, and if it has a lot of resin, you're probably not going to like the way it tastes. So as I'm talking about using pine, if you have eastern white pine or western white pine or sugar pine or white pine or limber pine or foxtail pine, bristlecone pine, single-leaf pine, Mexican pine, peri pine, jack pine, red pine, lodgepole pine, short-leaf pine, slash pine, bishop pine, sand pine, Virginia pine, spruce pine, table mountain pine, ponderosa pine, Jeffrey pine, knobcone pine, coulter pine, digger pine, Apache pine, pitch pine, loblolly pine, longleaf pine, Monterey pine, pond pine, Chihuahua pine, Tory pine, Austrian pine.
Wow.
Yeah. Those are all white.
I was adding drumbeats there. I was hoping you were offended by that.
No. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Just the huge numbers of pines. So, yeah, I'm talking about eastern white pine because that's like my pine tree. But you can use any of those pines. To the botanist, the soft pines have needles in bundles of five, and the hard pines have needles in bundles of two or three. The soft pines, the cones are kind of soft, and they don't have prickles. And the hard pines, you know those cones, they're like really hard cones, and they usually have a little prickle or a little tick on there. So that all those pines are just fine. Experiment with them. You'll find some that you really like. You'll find others that you go, woo, that is just too much. The next family is the Lauraceae, and these are the larches and the tamaracks, and these are the pine trees that actually lose their needles. They're very interesting trees, tamaracks and larches, and there's a larch tree that someone planted that grows here. It's not native to this area, but it is used as a landscape plant because the needles turn this brilliant gold before they fall off in the autumn. The PCA, the spruces, and this would include spruces, true firs, hemlocks, and Douglas firs. And I'm going to talk next week more about white pine, or that's any pine. And then after that, we're going to get into the spruce, cedar, hemlock, juniper. And again, these are trees that are used pretty interchangeably. And what else do we have besides those? The Douglas firs, which are the pseudotsugas, and they are sometimes used like the hemlocks, and then the true firs, the abies, and one of my favorites, and many other people's favorites as well in the evergreen family, of course, are the redwoods.
Mm.
And I'm not going to be talking about redwoods in our evergreen section or about bald cypress, partly because those are just out of the area that I am usually in, but all of the cedars, the incense cedar, northern white cedar, western red cedar, the Alaska cedar, the Atlantic white cedar, are definitely medicinal, and junipers, Rocky Mountain juniper, western juniper, Utah juniper, alligator juniper, common juniper, drooping juniper, all of these are part of what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks as the dark gathers, as we move towards solstice.
Awesome. We got about less than a minute, Susan Weed. It's great to have you again. I'm thankful and glad you joined us, and it's great to be with you again on a Tuesday night.
Thank you, and for those of you who haven't yet tootled over to SusanWeed.com, come and visit. Thousands of pages of information free just for you. And check out my WiseWomanBookshop.com. Tis the time for gift giving to perhaps one of my five books, Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, New Menopausal Here's the Wise Woman Way, Breast Cancer, Breast Health, The Wise Woman Way, my big green book for everybody healing wise, or my newest book, Down There, Sexual and Reproductive Health for Men and Women, The Wise woman way would be the perfect gift or any of the other wonderful things you'll find at the Wise Woman Bookshop. Green blessings, everybody. Thanks for helping me reclaim herbal medicine as people's medicine.
Thank you. And again, that's one of them is linked to Zween.com, is linked to our show page here. You can find it under the pictures. And thank you again. Have a great evening.
Good night.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.